We've been speaking about God and how great that He really is. This morning, we want to continue in this same subject, remembering that God is well able to bless and is also well able to curse. But remember that God has created all of this earth for Himself. We are nothing at all before God created us. Therefore, it is senseless to fight God or even to resist Him. God wants us to have all of the good things of this life, and God wants us to enjoy eternal life in His presence. The Bible states in the book of Exodus 15, verse number 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" The Israelites at this point are singing this great song of praise unto the Lord. But just yesterday, they were not singing praises unto God. Just yesterday, this people, these Israelites, were against God, against Moses, and against everything that had happened unto them. They were facing the Red Sea. Behind them was the Egyptian army that was coming to capture them. But on this day, they had escaped the Egyptians by crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, because God opened up that vast sea and caused it to be dry land. And then when the Israelites were safely across, God allowed them to see the closing of the Red Sea upon the Egyptian army, which was going to get them. It is a wondrous thing indeed to think that God is great, that He is able to bless in such a wonderful way. Israel had escaped not only Egypt, but also God had put 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt. In these 10 plagues that God plagued this great nation with, He had destroyed each of their various deities. Slowly and systematically, God put this death grasp upon the great nation of Egypt. Finally, in the last plague, the firstborn of every family had died. These Egyptians had ample opportunity to turn from their sins and to trust in the living God, but they did not. Instead, they perished in the Red Sea as they were trying once again to capture the people of God. Israel asked this question in the song of praise: "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" We have to say there that the word gods is spelled with a little g. There is no God like our God, the Israelites were saying. There's only one God, the God of Israel, and that is God. In the time of great victory, or in the time of a small victory, we ought to give praise and honor and glory to God. For He not only can deliver us from all of our enemies, but He is the one that watches over us every single day. He loves us with an undying love, and yet Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. In Mark 12, in verse number 30, says this: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." God cannot sin, but God does have mercy upon sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ. God has never sinned, and God never will sin. God is absolutely perfect in everything that He ever does. This is why we ought to dedicate ourselves to Him in all of our lives, knowing that God can watch over us in things that we cannot see. Since God cannot and will not sin, God can be trusted by us in everything that happens to us. You may not be able to trust the person that you love the dearest, but you can always trust God. Even when things are not going the way you want them to go, we ought to continue to trust God because He knows and understands. He is always watching out for our very best interest. Nothing can happen to you that God is not aware of or that God is not in control of. We need to trust God more than anything else. The reason we love God is not because things happen the way we want them to happen. Because sometimes even the best of people do not have things going their way. You know why we love God? We love God because He first loves us. This is what 1 John 4 and verse 19 states. We love Him because He first loved us. I'm thankful that God is the kind of God that He is, that He cares for us. But think about this. There is a triunity in the Godhead. I know that the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, but the principle behind this doctrine certainly does appear, as we shall see this morning. We want to prove three things to you in today's message. First of all, we want to prove that each part of the Trinity is God. Secondly, we want to prove that the three parts of the Godhead, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, are all equal. And third, we want to distinguish between the three different parts of the Godhead. First of all, we want to prove that each part of the Trinity is God. Now notice this. In the book of John 6 and verse number 27, the Bible says this, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for him hath God the Father sealed." This is talking about that God the Father has sealed. Notice also, in the book of 1 Peter 1 and verse 1 and verse number 2, that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There are many, many passages that we could use in the Bible that teaches that God is the Father. But these two should suffice. Notice that God is the one that blesses us with eternal salvation, and God is the one who watches over us in our everyday affairs. Notice also that the Son is called God. In the book of John 1 and verse number 1, the Bible said here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse number 14 of John 1, the Bible said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice, when we compare these two passages, that's John 1, verse number 1, with John 1, 14, we find that the Word, who is God, is said to be Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ is God. Understand that this is so. John 10, verse 29 through verse 30 says this, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Could there be any clearer scripture to teach that Jesus Christ and His Father are one? But notice also, the Holy Spirit is also said to be God. In the book of Acts chapter 5, and verse 3 and 4, Ananias and Sapphira here had lied, not just to people, not just to the church, but notice what this Bible says in Acts 5 and verse 3 and verse 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Notice here that there is no difference at all between lying to the Holy Spirit of God and lying to God. You see, they are exactly the same. So we find this, that God the Father is God, that God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. Acts 5 and verse 3 and 4 states it very emphatically that Peter said to Ananias that Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, that is, the Holy Spirit of God. You have not lied unto men. You have lied, rather, unto God. Notice, secondly, that we ought to prove that the three parts of the Godhead are absolutely, totally equal. There is no difference in the three at all as far as power is concerned. In the book of 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Notice what this passage states. We read 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says in this place that all three distinctions of the Godhead have a part of our salvation. Now, what parts is it talking about? The Bible said we are elected by God the Father, that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we are sanctified, that is, set apart by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2 again. The Bible said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace unto you be multiplied. You see, without each part of the Godhead doing His own particular job, we could not be saved. I know there's people today that do not believe in the Holy Spirit of God, but that is error. I know there's others that put too much emphasis upon the Holy Spirit of God. That is also error. We must be right as far as God is concerned with every part of the Holy Trinity. The Bible states in the book of Matthew 28 and verse number 19, Jesus Christ said this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is absolutely true. This passage teaches that the authority of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God are absolutely equal. It is not baptism unless the authority of the three parts of the Godhead are used. Some claim to baptize while baptizing only in the name of Jesus Christ. But this is not baptism at all. We must baptize with the authority of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Notice also in the book of Matthew 3 and verse number 16 and verse number 17, when Jesus Christ was baptized, all three parts of the Godhead were present. The Bible said in Matthew 3 and verse 16 and verse 17, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him? When Jesus Christ was baptized, all three parts of the Godhead were present. Jesus Christ was being baptized, not for his salvation, because he's God. The Holy Spirit was there, lighting upon him in the form of a dove, and God spoke, and his voice was heard. You see, when Jesus Christ began his personal ministry, he did not begin with only his authority. But Jesus Christ began his personal ministry with the authority of the entire Godhead. But notice another place. In the book of 2 Corinthians 13, in verse number 14, the Bible said in this place, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." In this benediction, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 14, in this benediction, Paul prays that Jesus will give grace, God the Father will give love, and the Holy Spirit will enable the believer to be in communion, that is, to be in partnership with the other two parts of the Godhead. This combination will give all of the necessary ingredients for the successful Christian life. If you want to live a Christian life that's successful before God, then you need to do it with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the power of Jesus Christ. That is what the Bible says here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, the third thing we want to do this morning is to distinguish between the three parts of the Godhead. The Father and the Son are different from each other. Look what the Bible says in the book of John 3 and verse number 16. I know this passage you can probably say from memory. The Bible said here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This well-known passage makes the distinction between the begetter and the begotten. That is, God the Father was the sender. Jesus Christ was the sent. Notice also that the Spirit and the Father are really different from each other. In John 15, in verse number 26, Jesus Christ says this, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Jesus declares that the Spirit actually comes from the Father. Therefore, the Spirit is different from the Father. The Bible also says that the Son and the Spirit are different from each other. In John 14, and verse number 16, Jesus Christ says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That's what Jesus Christ said. Who is the first Comforter? That's Jesus Christ. Who is the second Comforter? That is the Holy Spirit of God. And he is sent to us at the request of Jesus Christ. You see, therefore, the Son and the Spirit are different. So, we do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God who has manifested himself to us in three distinct ways. The doctrine of the Trinity is not self-contradictory, and we will make no attempt to explain away the mysteries of the nature of the Godhead. We can only scratch the surface of these scriptures. We believe by faith what they teach us, leaving the mystery of the Trinity for solution in eternity. All of this is way beyond our ability to describe the triune God. There are three persons in the Godhead, yet there is only one God. These three persons are equal to each other, and there is no division in God's nature or in God's being. In John 10, verse number 30, Jesus Christ said, "I and my Father are one." And then in Ephesians 2 and verse number 18, Paul writes this, "For through him," that is the Son, "we both," that is Jew and Gentile, "have access by one Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "unto the Father," that is God the Father. The Spirit of God the Father reveals Jesus the Son as Savior of sinners by applying the Word of God to the heart and soul of the sinner in order to save them, and no one is saved apart from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot see God because He is a Spirit, but He is revealed to man in Jesus Christ. John 1, verse number 18 states, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Can I really explain all of these things about the Trinity? Can I really get these points across to you that God is a Trinity? No, I really can't. All I can do is read to you what the Bible says about who God really is. That's all I can do. Because He is inexpressibly great. He is more than we could ever imagine that He is. Understand that that is so. The Bible says in John 1, verse number 18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." God is greater than anything that we can ever imagine. God is our Creator. In the book of Psalms 19 and verse number 1 through verse number 4, as David writes this, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun." The world, the creation of this world, shows that God has created everything. Men cannot understand this at all. We can only delve into the smallest parts of this. The firmament showeth His handiwork. The Bible says that the whole world is not enough to even get a small part of how great God really is. I know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that we're made by the very hand and power of Almighty God, just as God has created everything upon this earth. I know that He's done it all. I know that He loves us so much that Jesus Christ came into the world and that He died, that sinners like you and me could be saved. In Psalms 139 and verse number 14, our bodies declare the existence of God. We have eyes that see. We have ears that hear the blessed word of God. We have the ability to smell. We have taste. We have feelings. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says in Psalms 139 and verse 14, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You know, science can tell us how flesh can see. Science can tell us how ears can hear. How we can smell with our nose. How we can taste with our tongue. How we can feel with our fingers. But science cannot tell us why flesh can see. Or why flesh can hear. Or why flesh can smell. Or taste or feel. All of these things are the mysteries of life, which have been given to us in these bodies in which we dwell. Notice the book of Colossians 1 and verse 17 states, by him all things consist. If God did not hold this world together, it would not stay together. If God did not give us life, we would not have life. It is God's power that gives us physical life, and it is God's power as well that gives us spiritual life. It is God's power as well that shows us how lost we really are and how much that we need him. He is omnipotent. He is supreme. He is full of all power. I know that God is a Trinity. I know that he is omnipresent. I know that he is very independent because he is God alone. I know that he's immutable. That is, God never does change. I know that his power, his knowledge is absolutely limitless. I know that he has foreknowledge. I know that he looks upon us with great mercy. I'm thankful that God has saw fit to reveal himself to us in this way. I know that God has great wrath as well. And his wrath is only waiting to be released upon those that refuse to obey his every command. I know that he is a very sovereign God. He is well able to bless. I know that he's a very patient God as well, because he gives us time as we grow up. He gives us time that we might be able to see how great that he really is and finally trust in him. I pray today that if you're lost, that you might think about God just for a little while. I pray that you might also read about God in the King James Bible, and you might be able to understand some about the greatness of Almighty God, that you might be able to trust in him alone and see that you're lost without Jesus Christ, that you need Jesus Christ. You need him. He died one time for the sins of this entire world. He died one time for you. I pray today that you might come to him in saving faith, that you might trust him before it's eternally too late. Our prayers are for you. We do invite you this morning to come to services at the Independence Missionary Baptist Church in Forestell, Missouri. You're welcome to come, and we trust that we'll see you in services at the Independence Baptist Church this morning. Thank you now for listening.